Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
All right. Well, my name is Pastor Isaac, and I'm the youth pastor and college and career pastor here. So that's me if I haven't gotten a chance to meet you yet, but that's always a pleasure to be able to preach on a Sunday when I get the chance to, and I'm looking forward to it today. But you don't have to answer or raise your hand, but maybe just answer in your own mind. But I just wonder, do any of you ever just feel exhausted or worn out, specifically with your job, with your work, the weekly work, the daily work? All right, some of you want to raise your hands anyways because you're sick of it, right? But maybe you feel like you can't get enough time off, or even when you're on vacation, it doesn't feel restful. All right, it just feels like work is a burden. It just feels like you're constantly bogged down by work. Or maybe you're the complete opposite of that, and it feels like all you really can do and want to do is work, and that's what you maybe find your worth in, your identity in. And anytime you have a day off or you're resting, all you want to do is work. All you can think about is work. Or maybe it's not what you want, but it just is what you think about. But either way, I think a lot of us, most of us, experience difficulty when it comes to our work and rest and having a good balance between those two things, and just living out that weekly, daily reality of work, and probably experience some brokenness with those things or some struggles with those things. And there's some statistics that show that over 50% of Americans are unsatisfied with their job, unsatisfied with work, which is a really high number and honestly a really sad thing. But I think it's just a reality for so many people that the stuff that we have to spend the majority of our lives doing, we're not satisfied with, or we're not finding fulfillment in it, or it is just wearing us out. And it keeps us from feeling like we're living a life that is fulfilling or that is satisfying, or it feels like our work is stealing us away from the things that really matter or that are really important in our life, whether it's because it is exhausting us and wearing it out, or it's because it's just become our identity and it's all that we can think about. Either way, I think we find ourselves just having an unhealthy relationship with work, not knowing how to work in a way that's joyful or fulfilling, or not knowing how to rest in a way that's fulfilling or good. Either way, it's a problem, and I think it's a problem that God really cares about. And God actually has very specific ideas and design in mind for our work and for our rest. And I think by learning to engage with those things in the way that God intended, that is the key to being able to start living a more fulfilling life, a more joyful life. It's possible for us to be able to work and to have joy in it, to have satisfaction in our work, for work to be good and not just a burden that we're trying to escape from. It's possible for our rest to be more than just indulging our flesh, or our rest is being more than just an escape from work. God wants both to be good, and deep down, he intends for our work and our rest to actually be a way that we experience him, that we engage with him. Work and rest is actually a deep spiritual reality. It goes so much further beyond just the physical. And I hope that today, as we talk about work and rest, that it can help you learn in the physical, have some practical ways to live out those things in the physical in a way that's more joyful, more fulfilling. But ultimately, today is about starting to step in and walk in the spiritual truth and spiritual reality that God has for us when it comes to work and rest. And so I just want to take time today to look at, what does God think about these things? What is his idea for us when it comes to this? Because these things are an inevitable part of life. Work is an inevitable part of life. And the answer needs to be more than just finding a new job or more vacation time. I think the answer lies in actually changing the way we engage with work itself, changing the way we engage with rest itself. It's a complete perspective change, all right? So we're just going to start right in Genesis. Right in the beginning, God worked. He breathed all that came to be, all that exists. God spoke into existence with the breath of life, the ruach. The Spirit was residing over the waters, and then God formed all things. And over 6 days, he created the sky, the land, the water, all the animals, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea. And God created humans, man and woman, Adam and Eve. But God created all these things. And we see in Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, he rested from all the work of creation that he had done. So in the very beginning, in God's perfect intended world, God worked. And then on the seventh day, he rested. And I don't think God rested because he had to rest, because he needed to escape from the burden of his work. But God rested because it is good to rest. It is good to delight in the work of your hands. So God is already, I think, setting a model for us. He's trying to set a rhythm for us to follow in the beginning. Work and rest were God's intention from the very beginning. It was part of good creation. And when God created Adam and Eve, he gave them work to do. He said, now go, fill, subdue the earth. All these animals, I'm entrusting them to you. Name them, care for them, watch after them. He gave them work to do. And so work was meant to be good and an opportunity to have fulfillment and purpose. It was meant to be blessing. And rest was also meant to be a blessing and an opportunity to appreciate and enjoy good work. And so there's this beautiful rhythm at play that God intended of doing good work that leads to good rest. And because you rest well, you can work well. Because you work well, you can rest well. This is what God wanted from the start. But we know Adam and Eve made a decision to sin, and that sin brought brokenness into the world. Ultimately, sin brought separation between humans and God. It broke where there was before there was perfect union with God and perfect creation. There was perfect connection with God, but sin broke that connection. And now all the brokenness, all the pain, all the difficulty we face comes as a symptom of our broken relationship with God. This has been the problem from the start, and this is the problem that God instantly went to work again to try to solve. As soon as our decision to sin brought a brokenness between us and him and brokenness to creation, God is a God of restoration and said, I'm going to do everything I can to restore my creation back to me, to restore humans back to me. And a big part of that symptom of sin is it brought brokenness to that, to what God intended for our work and for rest. And part of the curse that comes after sin that we see in Genesis chapter 3 is God says, because of this sin, man, you will sweat and toil to put food on the table. It will be hard to work. It will be difficult to work. So the curse of sin affects our work, and that's part of what we experience today in our work. And experiencing work as a burden, it's a result of being disconnected from God. It's a result of sin. But again, it's something that God cares about and wants to see restored. He wants to restore, ultimately, our relationship with him. And part of that is he wants to see our work and our rest restored to what he intended it to be in the beginning. And that is a blessing and a good thing in a way that we engage with him. All right. But anyways, God went to work seeking to restore creation back to him. And so he put laws in place. He put structure in place. He gave his people the law. He said, here's a very specific structure in place to help you live the way that I intended you to live. But ultimately, the goal of the law was to help us have a structure to reconnect with God, to avoid the things that pull us away from God, and to do things that help us honor him and move towards him. And the law itself was not a perfect solution at the time, but it was God's first steps towards moving us back to him. And part of that law, part of the Ten Commandments that he gave us, was a command to rest, a command to remember a Sabbath day, just like God did in Genesis. So in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 10, he says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns." All right, so there's a command. On the seventh day, on the Sabbath day, do not work. And the reason why God commands this is, again, he's giving a structure, a tool to help them reconnect with him, to rest from the toil of work, and to have a whole day dedicated and set aside to reconnect with God and to reconnect with family and the good things in life. And God commands it to be for our good, to help us. And so God is trying to put a structure of rest in place to help them even with this broken relationship of work and rest and the burden that sin has brought to work. It's a part of how he's seeking to restore creation, to restore humans. But ultimately, the greatest goal is that God wants us to have relationship with him again. And so this law that he's putting in place, even the command to remember the Sabbath, it's just a means to get us to a greater end of our souls being fully restored to relationship with him. And jumping forward a little bit, God ultimately finally does this perfectly, provides a perfect solution, a more complete solution than the law, by sending his son, Jesus, to die for us. That is why Jesus came, because sin broke our relationship with him. It brought brokenness into all creation. And Jesus came to take the curse of sin, the punishment of sin upon himself, pay the price for it, and make a way for us to enter back into relationship with God. And ultimately, to enter back into a place of rest. God wants us to receive ultimate true rest through relationship with Jesus. And Hebrews chapter 4, verses 10 talks about this. It says, "For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience." And so in Hebrews, they're saying there is a rest that stands for the people of God. And the way that you receive that rest is through faith in Jesus. And the rest that's being talked about there is a rest that's so much deeper and far beyond just not working. It's so much deeper than just the physical action of stopping work. It's about receiving a rest for our souls. That is the ultimate rest that God is trying to get us to, is a rest for our soul. That we would be able to rest from the turmoil and the work of seeking to be justified before God, trying to find value in life, trying to find ourselves approved before God. We can rest from that work. We can rest from the burden of our soul being broken and lost by simply putting faith in Christ. That is the greatest gift that we could be given. So now through Jesus, because he paid the price for us, he took sin upon himself, if we confess with our mouth, believe in our heart that he is Lord, we can be saved. And we can receive rest for our soul. We have assurance now about where our soul will be. We can have assurance and confidence about where we'll be in eternity. So now I can live life with assurance and with confidence, knowing that I don't have to work anymore. I don't have to toil anymore to be approved by God or to have my soul secure. And so now it frees us up to work from a place of peace and a place of rest. So now our work, we don't have to work out of a place of obligation or to try to gain approval before God or to try to have value and purpose in our life, but rather we get to work as a privilege. It allows our work and our rest to start going back to what God intended it to be in the beginning, to not be a burden, but to be a gift and a privilege and an opportunity. Again, which we'll get a little bit more into the specifics of what that opportunity is, what the gift can actually be in our work. But that is kind of the greater overall truth that I just want to start with, is that through Christ, God is offering us an eternal rest, a rest for our souls, that even though we may be physically tired, even though we may have to work, even though we may experience pain or toil on this earth or from our work, that we may experience burden, it can never steal or change the rest and the peace that we can have for our souls. We will always, can always have assurance about our soul because of what Christ has done for us. And that is the gospel. That's the free and beautiful gift that Jesus offers to every single one of us. You can have absolute peace and assurance about your eternity and about this life on earth. And that is the place that God wants to approach all things in life from. That's the groundwork he wants us to start with, is peace through relationship with Jesus, through faith in Jesus, rest. And then from there, begin to learn how to engage with this world, learn how to engage with our work, learn how to rest from a relationship with Jesus being our foundation. All right, so just kind of wanted to set the groundwork there with that. But my point from the beginning still stands, that I think there's a better way to work physically, in the physical reality that we live in. I think God intends for us to have a better way to go about these things. He doesn't want your work to be a complete burden that you just have to escape from. He doesn't want your work to be your entire identity. He doesn't want rest to be a burden. He doesn't want rest to just be about simple indulgence in the physical. God wants us to instead engage with those things in a way that help us live out that spiritual rest and live out the things that he's called us to spiritually. God wants us to start to think more spiritually and with an eternal mindset in every single thing that we do. He wants us to get away from our work being merely a means to a physical end, and rather a means to a spiritual end and a spiritual reality in our own life and even for other people. All right, so I just want to maybe now get into a little more of the practical side of, okay, so how do we do that? How do I change my perspective of work? What is the perspective God wants me to have? How do I engage with work in a way that's more fulfilling, in a way that's more eternal? And how do I engage with rest in a way that is more how God intended it from the beginning? All right, so to start with our work, we need to see work as a chance to glorify God and to give him worship. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So these two passages alone, I think it's very clear, no matter what you do, all things that you do, all things you engage with, whether it's your work or your rest or your hobbies or how you engage with your family or the food you eat, no matter what it is all an opportunity to give God glory, to worship him. That's ultimately why we were created. We exist to give worship to God, to give glory to God. And so one of the first and core reasons why your work may feel unfulfilling and unsatisfying is because you're working simply for a paycheck. You're working simply to put food on the table rather than working from a place of desiring to bring glory to God and worship to God. When we can begin to change our framework for how we see work and see what is really truly the end goal of all that we do, it adds a whole new meaning to everything. It adds meaning to everything beyond just what we do for money. Right, because work in our life goes beyond just what we do for a paycheck. We work 8 hours in a day, 10 hours in a day, but you come home and then you have chores to do around your house. You have a family to take care of. You have the work of maintaining relationships. You have the work of being a part of your church, wanting to serve, wanting to contribute. Right, there's so many things that call for us to be responsible and to work. And so, if our only solution to work is to try to escape from it or to find more time off, it's just not going to be good. So instead, we need to start seeing all these things as an opportunity to give God glory, to do what we were really created to do, and to worship him. All right, our work, the way we engage with work, is a way to point others to Christ. It's a way for us to share our faith. Every single thing that we do can be a vehicle for the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter if you work at McDonald's, or if you're a CEO, or if you're a pastor, or if you're a stay-at-home mom. It does not matter what your title is. We all have the same call and responsibility, and that is to love God with all of our heart and to love people, to help other people love him. And all we do is a chance to do that. It's a vehicle, a method to do that. And if we can start seeing our work in that way, it will start freeing us from the burden of work and start making our work feel like a privilege and an opportunity to be a part of something much greater than ourselves. But work is also a chance for us to fulfill the image of God in us. So God created us in the beginning in his image. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 talks about how God created man and woman, male and female. In the image of God, he created them. In his likeness, he created us. And that's more than just, oh, we physically look like God. It's actually God is making a statement about how he created us to be like him in character. But I think one of the biggest ways that he's calling us to be like him is by doing good work in the world, by being creative, by the call in the beginning to fill and subdue the earth. We were at one of the deepest part of our purpose is we were created to work. It's part of how God gives us purpose, is by giving us a job to do. It's what gives us meaning for our life, is giving us a role in his work, in building his kingdom, and enacting eternal things in this physical world. And so we get to see work as an opportunity to fulfill the image of God, but to be like him. God is actually inviting us to be like him, to do the things that he does on a smaller level. We get to be a reflection of who God is when he gives us the opportunity to work. And he's actually calling us to rule over this world. He's entrusted the earth to us. He's delegated to us. He's sending us out and saying, I want you to go and to be my hands and feet. Go and be my mouthpiece. Go and be my workers in the earth. And everywhere you go, seek to bring heaven to earth. Seek to bring my heavenly reality there. So either way, I think inherently just how we were created, either way, we are going to rule. We're going to take dominion over things. The question is more, are you going to be a good ruler or a bad ruler? Are you going to rule in a way that brings glory to God? Are you going to take dominion for the kingdom of heaven, or are you going to take dominion for this world? I think that is something when we can start really realizing the great and the high call that God has actually placed on us, how much God is really expecting out of us. It helps us have more of this feeling of, I get to step up to the task. I get to step up to the honor of being entrusted to do good work in the world. That God is not expecting me to just mosey my way through life or just survive, but that he expects great things from us because of him. God is enabling us, right? He's allowing us. And again, it's because of what Christ has done for us that he has forgiven us, he's restored us, that we get to step back into relationship with God, and then we get to be a part of something greater than ourselves that we never deserved, right? So it's not because we are God or because we're anything so great in ourselves, but it's a privilege that God is giving to us, a gift of grace that he is giving to us, he's entrusting us to do good work in the world and to be good rulers, to create something beautiful in the earth. And honestly, I think it's so important that the world, that people who don't believe in God are not the hardest workers. They should not be the most creative. They should not be the most influential. They should not be the most respected. But rather, it should be people who follow Jesus, who are the hardest working, who are taking the most initiative to put things into the world, to put things out, right? We should be the one influencing the world, not the secular. But we should be doing it because we love God, because we want to give him glory. We should be more motivated than anybody else because we do it for the kingdom. We do it for eternity, right? We don't do it because we want to make more money or because we want a promotion. We do it because we want to give the most glory to God. But another way that we can begin to improve our work and start engaging in it the right way is through learning to rest and through engaging in the discipline of rest or the Sabbath, right? I think the command to remember the Sabbath day still stands. It's still relevant for us. It's not simply merely fulfilling the law of the Sabbath. That's not going to save you, right? It's not the be-all, end-all, but rather I think it's still important for us to see that God commanded the Sabbath for a reason, and he commanded it because it would be for our good. It would help us accomplish the things God is wanting us to accomplish. It would be a tool for us to live out the spiritual and heavenly reality that he's called us to, living it out right here on earth. Right? God commands it because it is his wisdom and it's to be a blessing to us. The Sabbath was not made for man, but man for the Sabbath, right? The Sabbath was meant to help us. It was not just meant to be a box to check off, right? We're not meant to become rigid and religious about it, but rather see it as an opportunity, as a privilege to rest and enjoy good things, enjoy the work of our hands, but most importantly, to reconnect with God. And I think if we learn to rest well, it will allow us to work better. Again, it's just returning back to what God intended in the beginning. If we're unhealthy in either one of these things, in our work or our rest, I think it throws off the rhythm that God intended for us to live in. So I just want to share some practical tips on how to live out the discipline of remembering the Sabbath. How can we actually put this to practice in our life? Or if I'm going to set aside a day to be the Sabbath day and I want to keep it holy, here's just some practical things we can do or what that can entail. And again, I just want to preface that I don't believe that if you ended up working on a day that was meant to be the Sabbath or you ended up missing a day of rest in the week, that I don't believe you're just a terrible sinner. And I don't think it's as rigid as that, because again, rest is a permanent state that we can live in. We enter real true rest through relationship with Christ. So really, we should always be living in rest. We should always be living out the heart of the Sabbath. What I do think is a sin is when we neglect our relationship with God and we neglect our family and we neglect to do good things in the world. And so if I'm seeing that, I would maybe wonder if maybe it would be good for you to practice rest, good for you to practice the Sabbath so that you can reconnect with God. And that connection with God is what allows us to do everything else that he's called us to do. It needs to be coming from a foundation of relationship with him. All right, but anyway, so if we're going to practice the Sabbath day, just some things that I've learned and also just found to be helpful in my own life. You can take it or leave it, but just want to share what I feel like has been good and practical for me, okay? First and foremost, you just got to pick a day in the week that generally can be a consistent day of rest. So if Saturday is normally your day off from work, that would be a good day to say, I'm going to set aside Saturday and let it be a Sabbath day to the Lord. I'm going to commit that day to the Lord. Then after you've found a day where you could set this aside and set it apart for the Lord, don't work. Okay, do whatever you can to not work on that day. If you have to turn off your phone, if you need to work extra hard during the week, then do that, right? Again, that could be part of this beautiful rhythm of I can work really hard in the week because I know I'm going to have good rest coming up. Okay, so I can work extra hard because I know I have this structure of rest waiting for me. All right, but discipline yourself to not work. Don't try not to talk about work. Try not to think about work. Just set that day aside for rest. And part of this is practicing humility before God. It's reminding ourselves that the world does not rest and revolve around us and our ability to work or to produce, right? It's important to sometimes take a moment to step back and be like, all right, God, you are in control. You are on the throne. Sometimes just be still and know that he is God. And the only work that should be allowed to interrupt your Sabbath is the work of the kingdom. All right, Jesus actually models this for us. Jesus got, the Pharisees got pretty upset with Jesus because he was doing work on the Sabbath, right? He broke the law of the Sabbath because he decided to heal somebody. He decided to restore somebody back into relationship with God. But people had become so rigid about, oh, remember this day is a day of rest, that they were mad at Jesus, right? But Jesus remembered the heart of the Sabbath, the heart of rest, which is about restoration with God, relationship with God. And so the only thing that should interrupt this day is work of restoring people into relationship with God, or doing the work of the kingdom, right? That is ultimately the heart of the Sabbath, okay? But otherwise, do your best not to work, okay? Then, after that, it's important to spend extended time connecting with God. Make that day about relationship with God. Everything you do, the goal of that day is to reconnect with your Creator, to spend time with Him. So spend extended time in prayer, spend extended time reading the Word, or just spend time simply being still before God, just remembering Him, being mindful of Him, meditating on who He is, right? Setting your mind on His character and the fact that He is God. Okay, whatever, it could look a lot of different ways, but just take extended time to connect with your Creator intentionally, specifically, okay? Then I think it's also good to, as God did when He rested, He delighted in the work of His hands, He delighted in His creation. I think it's good for us to enjoy good things, to enjoy the good blessings God has put into our life. Enjoy the work of your hands. So on a day of Sabbath, on a day of rest, I think it's good and okay to enjoy some things. Enjoy a hobby, read a good book, eat some good food, go fishing, go for a walk, right? But as you do these things, make it still about worship to God. Make it about thankfulness to God. Just be mindful of God through it. Be prayerful through these things. And let it be about just intentionally remembering the things God has blessed you with, the good things that He's put in your life. And then lastly, I think it's very important on this day that you reconnect with your family and with important friendships that God has placed in your life. So I think it'd be good to maybe take some intentional time to reconnect with your family, or reconnect with the people that God has entrusted you with, to steward and take care of relationships in your life. Maybe even use that time and that day to reconnect with God together. Pray and read scripture with your family. Pray and read scripture with a friend of yours, right? Invite important people in your life to be a part of this day that's set aside to remember the Lord and to give Him glory and to worship Him, all right? So those are just some practical things of, like, if I want to remember the Sabbath day, I feel like those could be some really good things that we can do on that day to try to make it set apart and to be holy unto the Lord and to be about remembering Him. But through remembering the Sabbath, through resting intentionally and making it about the Lord, it will allow us, it will allow our work to be more fulfilling. It will allow us to operate from a place of being filled up, and it will allow us to operate from a place of remembering who we are in Christ, remembering that we have rest for our souls, of being restored in the thing that matters the most, and that is our soul and our relationship with God. And then it can just give us vision and direction and meaning for everything else that we do moving from there. So really, if I could just sum all this up in one thing, is that the ultimate solution to any brokenness or struggle or frustration you see in your life is connection with God. It's relationship with God. And some of the things we're talking about today are just some structures that God has put in place, some instruction He's given us to help us connect with Him and to be restored to Him. He's just giving us direction and some rhythms and some disciplines for our life, for how we can live the life that He intended us to live. And so My hope today is that we're able to gain a better understanding of what God has really intended for us, and that work doesn't have to be a burden, that it doesn't have to be something you escape from, or that rest is actually good and a blessing from God. It's not something that you have to be ashamed of if we do it in the right way. And I think that through understanding these things, it will begin to transform the way that you live your life. It will begin to add a fulfillment and a purpose to everything that you do in a whole new way, because we begin to engage with things the way that God intended them. And we start making it about the heavenly reality instead of just merely physical. All right. But we're also going to close with a time of communion today. And so if you haven't got your communion elements yet, you can do that quick. But we're going to give you a moment, give you some time to reflect on communion. But just want to remind you again what we're doing with this time of communion. It's taking a moment to remember what Jesus has given for us, his body that was broken, his blood that was shed, and what that purchased for us. We're remembering the sacrifice Jesus gave that made life available to us, that made rest for our souls available to us. It made forgiveness of sin possible. And so we're going to take a moment, and I just want you to do two things during this next moment as Felicia leads us through a song before we actually take communion together. Is one, I want you to just reflect on your own heart, your own life, and if there's any sin in your life, if there's anything that is out of line with what God is calling you to do, just take a moment to confess that to the Lord. Be honest with him about it. Say, God, I know this has been wrong in my life. I ask that you'd forgive me and restore me back to you. Just repent. And the other thing is, I want us to intentionally thank God and remember him for the rest that he's offering to our souls and the privilege that he's giving us to be a part of his kingdom, to be a part of his work. That's possible because of what Jesus gave for you. That's possible because of what we're remembering through communion. So I want us to also just take a moment to remember that and thank God for that. All right.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.